As I mentioned today, we're concluding our seasons collection. We've been looking at Ecclesiastes 3:1, which says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." And we've been really pushing this point that a misdiagnosed season will always lead to misled or misplaced expectations. You know, the problem that most of us have isn't that we are in difficult seasons, as hard as they are, because those are inevitable in life. We go through hard seasons, we go through hard times, but I find that the problem most of us have is that we have no idea what season of life we're in, and as a result, our experience and our expectations do not align, leaving us feeling disappointed, hurt, and frustrated, often at God. And so often I find that we work against the very thing that God wants to do in us in the season that we're in. We overwork when God's called us to rest. We isolate when God's called us to thrust ourselves into community. We start new things when God's called us to be faithful to steward the things that are already before us. And our hope in this collection has been to help you identify what season you're in so that your posture and your expectations can align and work with what God is doing in you instead of against. And so we've been looking at the different seasons of nature in God's creation and seeing what they could teach us about the seasons of life, right? Scripture and God always reveals his nature and who he is through things that we can observe and experience and make sense of and understand in creation. In the same way, when we look at the seasons of nature, they have a lot to teach us about the seasons of life that we find ourselves in. So we've covered winter, we've covered spring, last week we've covered summer, and today we conclude our collection with a look at autumn. Y'all thought I was going to say fall. I had to say autumn because fall's just too depressing, right? Autumn sounds more regal, more beautiful. When I think about the most distinct season of autumn that I can remember in my life, it was when I turned 18. And you know what was crazy? I used to be like, you know, when I went to college, that was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Now it's been 18 years since I went to college, half my life ago. I feel hella old, y'all. It's disgusting. I feel disgusted with myself. But 18 years ago, when I turned 18, I graduated high school, 2005. A lot of litty things were happening back then, but I went to UC Davis. And by the way, UC Davis, 18 years ago, was like the school you went to when you didn't get into Berkeley or UCLA. It was like a throwaway school. Like when people asked you where you went to school, you said UC Davis. Like people were kind of like, ugh. But now I hear UC Davis is like on top. Like it's like one of the best UCs in California. I don't know. But anyway, I went to UC Davis in the fall of 2005. And I remember when I got there, there's just so much greenery in UC Davis, in the city of Davis. And I remember in that season of autumn, I remember seeing all the beautiful leaves change color. It started changing to golden brown, to red, to yellow. And I remember it hit me really hard that this is autumn because I remember it was a season of transition in my life. It was the first time I was living away from home outside of San Francisco. It was the first time I was out on my own where I had to cook my own meals, do my own laundry, just basically take care of myself and try to survive. It was a big season of transition. And as I looked at the transition in nature, my heart resonated because I felt like I was transitioning as well. And I think that's a good picture of what autumn is. Maybe you remember a big transition or change in your life. You left the company that you've worked for forever to start a new job. You're moving out of a city that you've called home to live somewhere new. The end of a relationship you've been in for as long as you can remember. All of us have experienced transition or change. And this is what autumn is all about. Autumn is a season where change is most striking in nature. Right? It's the in-between season wedged between the warm celebration of summer and the cold barrenness of winter. You see the green leaves turn gold and amber, right? Starbucks pumps out all their pumpkin spice flavored goodness, right? It's a season of transition and change. Autumn is a season of change, a season of transition, a season of renewal. It's a strange mixture of nostalgia, blessings, and potential. Autumn yields the harvest of the seeds that we've planted in spring and summer, but it also braces us for the cold of winter. Now, as we've been doing, here are some signs that you may be in a spiritual autumn, that this might be the season of life that you're in. Number one, what you once did with enthusiasm and joy is now beginning to feel burdensome. Number two, you're waiting on the outcome of a significant project or endeavor. You feel the weight and urgency of finishing a task well or of ending something well. Your weariness and craving for rest grows almost daily. Like you've been going at 110% and you feel like, I need more rest, more rest. You're being asked to let go of people, things, or ministries that you've held dear for as long as you can remember. You've lost something or someone significant. You're in the midst of a harvest, and there's more to be done than humanly possible. It's like everything that's on your plate, it feels like I don't have enough time. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough energy to get this done. As I mentioned, autumn is a season of transition, reminding us that our lives are in constant flux. Autumn brings us into this deeper awareness that we live in a continual cycle of dying and rising, of ending and beginning, right? Growing distant from old friends to make room for new friendships, leaving your old job to make room for something new and better fitting, moving away from one city to begin a new chapter in another city, dying and rising, ending and beginning happen all the time. Parker Palmer, who writes about this, he says, in the visible world of nature, a great truth is concealed in plain sight. Diminishment and beauty, darkness and light, death and life are not opposites. They are held together in the paradox of hidden wholeness. Autumn constantly reminds me that my daily dyings are necessary precursors to new life. Come on, that's good, huh? That's good. Jesus says something similar in John chapter 12, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Right? Autumn reminds us that without death, there can be no new life. Without an end, there can be no new beginning. And so we need seasons of transition where we go from life to death. But we know that life is coming back around the corner. You know, when we started our church, something had to die. You know, we were pastors of another church before this called Sons and Daughters. We used to meet in this building, and we loved that community. It was such a golden time. I mentioned that was the last summer that I felt. But that season, that time of our lives had to die in order for this beautiful thing to be birthed. And I'm so thankful. Like, I would have never met Paulette, even though she's leaving this month. Oh, this month, right? I would have never met these people, our beautiful community. We would have never formed this band of rebels and runaways had not something ended before. Right? Autumn is a season of paradox that invites us to consider what we're called to release and what we're called to gather. To release and surrender what no longer serves us or gets in the way of being present in the holiness of each moment in this season, whether it's things or habits or postures or attitudes or beliefs. But on the other hand, it's not just about releasing, it's also about gathering. We gather in the harvest to name and celebrate the fruit of the seeds that we planted in previous seasons, the victories, successes, breakthroughs, and fruit. And in holding these two things in tension, we're reminded that in our letting go, we also find abundance. I think this is the most true, probably the biggest transition we've experienced in our lives, and Fatai could attest to this, is becoming parents, right? When Krista and I were getting ready to birth our first son in 2021, there was a sense that we're so excited, our baby boy is coming, we don't know what he's going to be like, but we're just so excited to go on to this new chapter, this new journey of parenthood. But there was also this sense of letting go. Like, I have to let go of my ability to sleep in now. I have to let go of our ability to travel whenever we wanted. There were things that we had to release, even though we were excited. And you know what we did right before Zion came? We went through all of our videos and pictures of our marriage leading up to this moment, the 5 years that we had been married. We were looking through videos of our honeymoon when Snapchat was still a thing. We're looking at the recap videos. We're looking through the times that we lost and found our dog twice in San Francisco. We're looking through the houses that we lived in. We were just recapping the abundance of the season that came before. And in seasons of transition, there's this paradox where we celebrate what's come before, but we also learn to let go. You know, just a week ago, it's called the autumnal, but I'm just going to call it autumn equinox. It fell on September 22nd. I don't know how to pronounce that word, sorry. But it fell on September 22nd. That was just a week and a half ago. And on that day, on the autumn equinox, the sun rested right above the equator, meaning there was an equal balance of light and dark, day and night throughout the entire planet on that day. And this is a beautiful picture. This is the tension of autumn, the balance of light and dark, of light and death, of joy and sadness. Right? Every preacher quotes from, you know, the Bible of Pixar, Inside Out, right? They talk about how joy and sadness must coexist. Autumn holds joy and sadness together in tension. The joy of traveling to a new place when you're on vacation, but then as soon as you get there, you start to feel the dread that our vacation's almost over. Come on, y'all been there, right? Like the moment you land, you're like, oh my God, the week's gonna go by so quick. Krista, like the first dinner, every first night of the vacation we're on, she's like, I can't believe it's almost over. I'm like, it's the first night. Like, we still got a whole week. But we feel that tension, don't we? The joy of being reunited with a friend who's visiting from afar, knowing that they're going to leave again soon. Right? The joy of what has come, the joy of the fruit that we have borne, the joy of the victories of summer collide with the sadness of the winter that is to come. Autumn is a yearly reminder that seasons of plenty often end in seasons of waiting. It's the natural creative order. Henry Nguyen, who we've been quoting a lot, an amazing Catholic priest, he says the autumn leaves can dazzle us with their magnificent colors, deep red, purple, yellow, gold, bronze, and countless variations and combinations. Then shortly after having shown their unspeakable beauty, they fall to the ground and die. The barren trees remind us that winter is near. Likewise, the autumn of life has the potential to be very colorful. Wisdom, humor, care, patience, and joy may bloom splendidly just before we fall to the ground and die. St. John Eudes once spoke about autumn as a time of what he calls plentitude, a time of fulfillment in which the richness of nature becomes abundantly visible, but also a time in which nature points beyond itself to the fragility of its passing beauty. In this way, autumn is truly bittersweet. The season of autumn can be an exciting time for a fresh start, but can also be a time of loss accompanied by grief and a sense of emptiness. You get the real sense that nothing lasts forever. I'm sorry, this is kind of a sad sermon, isn't it? Nothing lasts forever. But there's also beauty in that. Because when nothing lasts forever, every moment that you do have, you get a sense that it needs to be cherished, right? We've had a lot of people from our community transition out of San Francisco this year. You know, up the first 4 years of our church life, New York was our mortal enemy because we lost so many church members in New York, but now it's Los Angeles, okay? I hate LA now, okay? Sorry if you're from LA. I'm still a Lakers fan, but you know how it is. But so many people have transitioned out of San Francisco this year, and isn't it interesting that it's usually when someone is getting ready to leave that you really cherish that person, right? You hold them tighter. You make the most of the time that you have left together. You let them know how you feel about them and how much you care for them. Autumn reminds us that change is inevitable. And so it forces us, it causes us to cherish what we have for as long as we have it. It helps us see that what's before us right now, even if you don't love it, even if you can't wait for the next thing, what's before you right now is sacred. The job you're at, the relationships you have, the community you're in, what you have before you right now is sacred because it won't last forever. You know, I'm not that old, but I am 36. So I've lived a little more life than you guys. And I know that truly this is true. You know, when we had our wedding in 2016, you know, you invite a snapshot of your community at that time. And we realized that at our wedding, besides the groomsmen and the bridesmaids, we barely keep in touch with anyone else that was part of our wedding party. I mean, a handful like of our family and close friends, but it's just a snapshot that nothing lasts forever. And so we're really challenged to cherish what is before us right now. But I want to give you hope because it sounds really depressing, right? Nothing lasts forever. What kind of sermon is this? This intimate experience in which every bit of life is touched by a bit of death actually points us to something beyond our world, beyond ourselves. And autumn reflects what we know as the already but not yet kingdom. You might have heard me talk about this before. It's the understanding that the kingdom of God has already come, but is still coming. That Jesus has already come. He's done his work on the cross, but there is still a sense in when Jesus is coming back again to make all things right. We live in this theological tension between the already finished work of Jesus and the yet to come redemption of all things. And autumn reminds us of that already yet kingdom, of the already yet nature of God. Mark Buchanan, who writes about these seasons, he says this: agriculture is about patience and it's about anticipation. We expect something to come from our efforts. The heart in fall or autumn especially lives with this expectation. It feels the weight of it, the heft and tug of what's coming in a way that it simply doesn't at other times. Autumn reminds us that the world is always in transition from death to life, that there is coming a God who is going to come and restore all things, bring redemption to all of creation. And so in our seasons of transition, we can have hope that God is coming to redeem all things. And so I want to leave you with four spiritual practices that you can practice, that you can posture yourselves with in a season of autumn. If you're in a season of change or transition or harvest and renewal, these are four things that you can practice when you're in this season to highlight and connect with the divine. Number one is breath prayer. You know, sometimes in our busiest, most exhausted moments, all we can manage are a few words. And so breath prayer, one way that we can do this is you find a key verse in scripture or a phrase, something that you've heard before that expresses your heart, that is the prayer of your soul, and you break it down into two phrases. And one phrase is for your inhaling, and one phrase is for your exhaling. For example, we know the famous psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." We can do, "I will be still and know," inhale, "that you are God," exhale. And breath prayer is beautiful because sometimes prayer feels like a chore or feels so like it doesn't feel organic, but breathing is organic. You breathe every single moment of every day and you don't even realize it. You don't realize that you're doing the very thing that keeps you alive. And so when we incorporate breathing into our prayers, we're trying to make prayer more organic. We make it as in a sense, we're saying that as I need breath to sustain my life, so I need you, God, to sustain my life. And we try to make prayer something more organic. So the first is breath prayer. The second, you may have heard us teach about it a couple of times over the past few years, is the daily examine. The examen is an ancient practice that invites us to create space at the end of each day for reflection. It's a form of personal inventory, a way to intentionally process the day with God. And so one way that you could do this at the end of each day, spend time in prayerful reflection on your day, your comings and your goings, your routines and your disruptions, your work and your play, your discoveries and your disappointments. Think about who you met or who you missed. Think about moments of aloneness or moments of connection and all of those things. Ask two questions. Number one, when did I feel most alive, most present, most filled and fulfilled today? And number two, when did I feel most taxed, most stressed, distracted, depleted today? You know, I used to do this every single night, depending on what season I'm in, and it's so powerful. As you recap your day and invite the Spirit of God to help highlight where were the moments where I felt alive and where were the moments where I felt dead. It's a very powerful thing to do at the end of the day because it prepares you to face the next day. Another approach that centers God is by asking, when did I notice God's presence the most? And number two, when did I feel far from God? Right? In autumn, returning to a reflective question like this each evening reminds us that God's constant activity in our lives is ongoing, even when we struggle to see it or feel it. And there are more robust ways of doing the daily examen. You can look it up. There's even apps for it. There's a really cool app. I forget what it's called, but there are many daily examen apps that help you do this every day at the end of the day. So I'd encourage you to look into it some more if you feel so led to do so. The third is lament. One of the most overlooked aspects during transition in our lives is the reality and the weight of grief. You know, when we think of grief, we think of like major things like the death of a loved one or the ending of a relationship or the loss of a job. But we often overlook the grief of the little things that we lose every single day of our lives. right? The shifting dynamic of a friendship, like when your bestie gets in a relationship or your friend gets married. No, I'm serious. There is grieving there. I'm serious. There is real grieving there. Moving to a new city, leaving behind your old life behind, a roommate moving out. You know, some of y'all still grieving from a roommate moving out. You don't even know it yet. There are little things that we grieve every single day, but we're just not aware. And it's important that in our seasons of transition, we lean into our emotions and we process them with God. And lament is one way that we can do that. When it's hard to find words or prayers that express our grief and lament, one helpful thing that I found in my spiritual journey is to look to the Psalms. Why? Because almost 40% of the Psalms are prayers of lament, right? You know, Christians aren't always these positive, encouraging, K-love people. No, there is real deep grief and lament in the journey of faith. And Psalms are one of the things that gives language to our pain. And so you could read them out as your prayer to God. Allow the words of the psalmist to carry your soul from lament to worship. And the fourth practice, this is a big one, pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is the ancient spiritual practice of stepping outside of our lives to go on a journey of discovering God. Now, this can look many different ways. This can look as simple as withdrawing from the busyness of the city to go on a reflective hike in nature for the day. This can look like traveling across the world to Jerusalem, visiting holy sites from Scripture. One thing that is a bucket list goal of mine that I want to do with my family one summer is I want to hike the Camino de Santiago, which is like a 30-day, 500-mile trail through Spain, visiting centuries-old churches and monasteries along the way. And it's one pilgrimage that I want to make in my life where we leave our old world behind so that we can make space to discover new things about God. The point is leaving behind the world you know to discover a whole new dimension of God. So breath, prayer, daily examine, lament, and pilgrimage are four practices that we can engage in when we find ourselves in seasons of transition and seasons of autumn. Now, I want to close with this. You know, as we wrap up our entire collection, we've been talking about the different seasons of life that we find ourselves in. And it can be kind of discouraging, right? Some of y'all feel like you're in winter. Some of y'all feel like you're in fall, as we're describing right now. Some of you guys feel like you're in summer. Great. But you know, it won't last forever. It could be depressing. But one of the anchors that we can hold on to in the various seasons that we go through in our lives is God. Psalm 91 through 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. What's he saying? Though generations pass, though empires rise and crumble, though seasons change, God, you remain the same. Your love is constant. Mark Buchanan, I want to end with this quote. He says, but what I do know is that Jesus is enough. He's been a good companion all the way through. I have no reason to doubt he will be a good companion for all that lies ahead. I hope there are still many springs and summers and autumns for me. I know other winters will come and at some point settle in. Alas and amen. Too bad, and so be it. The man for all seasons is here and there. With him by my side, all is well, and all manner of things are well. Though the seasons may change, God will remain the same. The man for all seasons is with you, and he will guide you through. Right now, why don't we close our eyes and create a space for reflection and contemplation? I don't know what season of life you find yourself in. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're in a spiritual winter. Maybe you're in a spiritual summer or spring. Maybe you're in autumn, as we're talking about it right now. Wherever you're at, the man for all seasons is there with you, and he's there to lead you through. For those of you who feel like you're in autumn, who feel like you're in the midst of major transition, I do want to leave you with one thought. In the Benedictine tradition, one of the commitments that they make to faith is the practice of what they call conversion. And it's not like, you know, converting from Christianity. It means something else. It essentially means being open to the surprise of God in your life. It means being open to change and transition. It means believing that God is far bigger than anything you can ever imagine, and there are always more dimensions of the sacred to discover. And I feel that is the invitation for some of us today that are in seasons of transition, that are in spiritual autumns. There is an invitation to be open to the surprise of God in your life. To be okay letting go of what you've known or what you've held dear or what's been familiar or what's been comfortable, to make space for the new thing that God is doing. To being open to transition and change. And if that's you, I want to pray over you right now. God, I thank you for those who are in seasons of transition, who are in seasons of autumn. We pray this Benedictine transition, the practice of conversion, of being open to the surprise of God in their lives. And I pray there would be an openness to discover new realities, new depths of who you are, of your love. I pray there would be an openness to see you in places they have not seen you before, to be open to discovering you in ways they have yet to experience. I thank you for those who are in these seasons. And we just pray that you would surprise them. You would wow them. Show them that you are the God that is bigger than anything they could ever ask, think, or imagine. Thank you, God. And lastly, I just want to pray for everyone. Whatever season of life you find yourself in right now, the man for all seasons is here. He is with you. And for some of us, it looks different. For those of you who feel like you're in summertime, you're in celebration and joy, it's easy to feel the presence of God. But for some of you who are in winter, it feels like he's abandoned you. He's not there. But I just feel a collective invitation for all of us to see that he is with us in every season, and he is the same. He is never changing. Right now, I speak to the winters. I speak to the springs. I speak to the summers. I speak to the autumns. I speak to every season that we are in. And we just declare, God, though the seasons may change, you are the same. Your love remains. The man for all seasons is here, and he is with us. So we thank you, God, that you are faithful. We thank you, God, that you are with us. We thank you, God, that you have never left our side. And whether we are barren or fruitful, whether we are feeling alive or feeling dead, whether we feel joy or whether we feel sadness, whether we're sowing or we're resting, whatever it might be, we know that you are here with us. You delight in us and you hold us in your hand. So we thank you, God. Thank you for the seasons. Thank you that for in order for there to be fruitfulness in summer, in order for there to be harvest, there first needs to be death. So for those of us who are in death, in barrenness, we hold to the hope that there is coming a season of fruitfulness, of joy everlasting. And for those of us who are in seasons of joy, we know there is coming a season of pain and barrenness that will make way for the next fruitfulness, for the next harvest in our lives. So we trust you, God. We love you. We thank you that you're with us. In Jesus' name we pray, we say, amen.